The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
Episode 370 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Droste, Jesse Velasquez, no Justin Joint. He's a little bit under the weather, but Jesse and I are here to talk about an exciting week in professional wrestling. We got New Japan Pro Wrestling to talk about. We got WWE Raw's debut on Netflix. Of course, AEW Dynamite. The return of Kenny Omega on two continents this week. Jesse Velasquez, how are you doing?
I had wrestling spewing out of my ears, I think, middle of last week. And I think it's kind of flowed into this week. But I mean, for me, it's not just the current stuff. It's the retro, too.
Dude, you sent me over the weekend and Justin, too, your lineup of all the wrestling you're going to be watching. Absolutely insane. Yeah, you got wrestling coming out of your ears, like you said. And you got playoff football to look forward to this weekend. I see the game got moved for your Vikings. You're on a neutral site now.
I'm thankful that it's Monday night, too. I mean, I have my son this weekend. I normally don't watch football when he's here. So Monday night, and I don't have him. I'm excited.
Nice. Very nice. Well, best of luck to your Minnesota Vikings. I'll be watching. Exciting slate of action this weekend.
Definitely agree there. I mean, it's pretty balanced. I think I'm on both sides. And I mean, the top seeds, the Lions and the Chiefs, are the ones that are, I would say, I'm pretty close to overwhelming favorites. But especially the Chiefs, for that matter, I think they're starting to peak at the right time, which is scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions, I mean, obviously they looked good against Minnesota, but at the same time, they got 21 players on injured reserve, so I don't know how confident I would be in them winning the NFC. I think the NFC is pretty wide open, so maybe you guys got a chance. Who knows? It's been a crazy year. You might make it all the way.
That was the most frustrating thing about watching that Sunday night game, was seeing a defense that had just gotten destroyed by pedestrian offenses over the course of the last 8 to 10 weeks, shut down a top, I would say, 10 to 12 offense in the NFL, and did it pretty handily.
Yeah.
Kind of scary.
And, you know, the seeding issue. I mean, that's a whole different discussion. Obviously, like, division winners get the higher seed. It's pretty crazy, though, that you could go from a chance to be the number one seed to the 5 seed, right? Is that, you know, is that fair?
14 wins. That's never been done before either. I can recall this year's a couple of times. There was the Giants and the Cowboys in 93. They played for the number one seed in the last game of the season. I think the Giants had 12 wins. They had to go on the road. And then I had to think way back when I was a tyke in the 87 year, there was a strike, but the New Orleans Saints finished 12-3 in the NFC West. They had a 4 seed. There was only 5 teams in the playoffs and they got a home game.
That's crazy.
The Vikings went in and smoked them, though.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, my team's done, but the coaching search is ramping up. And I got to say, getting a win in Green Bay was still a fun way to end the season after a massively, massively disappointing year altogether. At least there were some positives ending things. So I was happy about that.
That was the highlight of my Sunday, watching Cairo Santos just boot it through from 52. That was awesome.
And do the Lambeau leap as everybody screamed at him. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, Caleb Williams is undefeated at Lambeau Field. What can I say?
Yes.
Starting it off right.
Gosh, they said they had 11 games. Is that right?
They hadn't beat Green Bay, in any game since 2018, and they hadn't won at Lambeau since 2015, which is just, and most of these games are close, you know, it's crazy. They should have swept them this year. Look, I apologize to our Wisconsin listeners, but the illegal field goal block at Soldier Field, Green Bay would have been 0-6 against the NFC North. And, you know, we would have swept them. So, I mean, it was there. They walked away with the win, but we got our revenge and split, and hopefully next year will be a little more exciting. But, no, man. I mean, best of luck. You know, got to root for the TRN crew and the surprising Minnesota Vikings. Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
Unbelievable season. I could never have dreamed of. Again, when it started, we're like 6-7 wins. Sounds great. Yeah. And then we get the 14 somehow, some way with, I mean, hey, that's what salary cap stuff does. Sorry, wrestling fans. I'm going to go for another 15, 20 more seconds and we'll move on. The moment you shed like $60 million of cap money with Cousins and Hunter going to opposite teams and you bring in Jonathan Grenard and Andrew Van Ginkel and Stephon Gilmore and Sam Darnold with that money and they end up being your key cogs, that's how you do it.
Yeah. I said it last night on Bears Over Beers, the other podcast I host. In the NFL sphere. And I said, Kevin O'Connell should easily be coach of the year, in my opinion. Like, I cannot make an argument for anybody over him. And to me, he's one of the top, like, three or four coaches in the league. He's just incredible. Very jealous of that man. Very jealous that you guys got him.
Thank you. But people are prisoners of the moment here in Minnesota. So they look at the last game and they forget the other 16 games where he went 14-2.
Yeah, that's crazy. He is unreal. That's why I feel like the pressure. The Bears have to get this hire right. They have to get it right because three great coaches in the division. And I mean, you can't find another division in NFL with that like top tier level coaches across the board. So there's a lot of pressure on him to get this right.
That's true. Unless Vegas comes up with a solid hire this season too, because they got Harbaugh, they have Andy Reid, and I hate Sean Payton, but he's a decent coach too.
Yeah. I don't think, sorry, Ryan Huffman, we were talking about today. I'm like, I don't think Vegas is going to get Ben Johnson. I just don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? We'll see. Let's talk pro wrestling. Let's talk a little pro wrestling. Where should we start? Probably Raw, Netflix. I mean, we always do our biggest numbers with the WWE discussion. We'll start there. All right. So we had the big 3-hour Raw on Monday night. I did see the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. I believe in the U.S. it was about 2.6 million people watched it. And I think about 4.5 million globally, give or take, right around there. So pretty big audience, as was expected. The Intuit Dome in Los Angeles looked incredible. And of course, shout out to what everyone's going through out there right now with the massive fires. Just crazy scene to see on TV. So if you're listening and you're in that area, we're thinking about you. But man, that is a hell of an arena, and it looked great on television. I liked the entrance way that they used, you know, all the LED lights around the seats look pretty cool on TV. I would say I could see how for some people that would be a distracting. I do wonder in like 10, 15 years, if that's going to be like a trendy thing that goes away and they have to remove all those LED bulbs. That kind of like went through my mind. What does that bother you? Like the rows and rows of LED lights on every seat?
A little it did. I got distracted by it, but I think that's the highlight of the whole night for me was the presentation and how everything was shot. I think from a WWE perspective, they have that portion absolutely nailed down. So, I mean, I can see why you can hook in people that way. I mean, they've done great with drones in the last year as well, just kind of switching that presentation up. So kudos to them to at least pull that off.
Yeah. And, you know, they did that big like history of wrestling thing on the big curtains that they had covering the ring at the beginning. And then Jesse, who was the first person in the ring on Monday night?
You guessed it. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
I just knew it. I just knew. Like, of course he's going to be out there. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show before, but putting your name on the screen at the end with that producer credit thing, that is so cringeworthy. Really? Do you really need to do that? I mean, look, the guy's done great, obviously, creatively for the company and everything, but like the ego you can't call it anything other than ego. That's getting a little old, man. Like, come on, ratchet it down a bit.
He keeps getting moved down a peg in terms of my wrestling pantheon the more and more he continues to do this. And he's been done wrestling since, I think, what was it, 20? Oh, he came back for that 2018 horrific match in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. No, it was about what I expected. I don't imagine every Raw on Netflix is going to be like this. You know, they rolled out the red carpets. You know, they had all the actors there. Macaulay Culkin getting the pop of the night. That was actually pretty awesome. but, you know, like they showed all the celebrities in the crowd. You know, it was basically just a massive corporate event. All the logos all over the ring mat, which I do not like. I think that looks pretty bad. But, you know, we had two matches, Jesse, in the first 2 hours of the show. I mean, again, like I kind of expected that. But boy, to me, it was kind of a slog to watch. You?
Big time. Big time. I referenced a tweet to you guys in our group chat that summed it all up. I'm just going to give cliff notes of it because this is exactly how I felt, is just how, yeah, rolling out the red carpet and they were giving you all this PR about it being, this is going to be just as important and look as good as a PLE. Celebrities being probably paid to tweet about the event in advance, and then justified pessimism being shut down throughout the day, and then the show comes and it's an empty chip bag where every last one of this person's concerns were justified, and it was undistilled capitalism. It was just a huge billboard. There wasn't much there. And I think I saw this reference quite a bit, where if you hadn't watched the product in a while and you stumble upon Netflix and you see names that you saw 15, 20, 25 years ago being rolled out instead of something completely new, how would you feel? And yeah, just, it didn't hit me in the chords. It didn't hit most of the people that I saw in the chords, but it sure hit the World Wrestling Entertainment audience right in the feels. They got exactly what they wanted there. Cinema.
That's for sure. Dude, I gotta say, that opening match with Solo and Roman, I thought it was bad. I mean, it's the same formula. I just don't know. Maybe if you're new to the product, okay, I guess I can kind of see how you'd be into it. But like, to me, it's like same old shit. Once again, all the interference spots. I just don't know how you could get into it. It just felt very slow. You know, you got the stuff with Rock, of course, and that was weird where he's just like making friends with everybody and putting over Roman, and he's doing shots with Cody Rhodes. So like all the blood feud from a year ago is just all forgotten, I guess. Very nonsensical stuff.
He was going to have a title shot and Cody was going to give it to him 2 weeks later, taken away. 2 weeks later, Cody gets it back because of outlandish cries from everybody on social media, which is rightfully justified. Yeah, the match itself was, again, super, super slow. Solo Sikoa, as we know, is just not it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm very, very happy that I think this is the end of the Bloodline story.
And we're going to move on. I hope so. But who knows?
Yeah. Roman, January 27th, he's already making claims 3 weeks from now to do some sort of ceremony, which is odd to me because Saturday night's main event's 2 days prior. Why wouldn't you do something there?
Yeah.
Pop another rating.
No kidding. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. No, it was, yeah, I thought the opening was slow. You know, I was happy that finally they did the title switch with Rhea beating Liv. I mean, it was way past time for that to happen. So, you know, I don't really have any deep thoughts on that match or anything. I think it was the obvious decision to do that. And, you know, it was about as good as it could be. It wasn't a great match by any means, but right person won.
My big note of that was that ESPN's number one best 30 under performer under 30 years old got absolutely trashed by a woman. Rhea
she
Ripley.
Was the number one? I didn't see
no,
that.
Dominic Mysterio was number one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did see that. Okay.
Yeah. Rhea just absolutely made him look like a fool.
What did she call that on social media? Like the nutcracker, the nut crusher or something like that? I can't remember. I saw it today.
I would assume it's the nutcracker.
Yeah. You know, let's go right to this. Hulk Hogan. I don't remember if I said if Macaulay Culkin got the pop of the night or if I said it was the highlight of the night, but this might have been the highlight of the night, Jesse, because, you know, we were over in the Top Rope Nation Facebook group, Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. Get in there if you're not already. And, you know, I posted a lot that day and I talked about how, you know, there was the picture of him arriving in Los Angeles and his clothing and everything. And I was like, you know, here's CM Punk's chance to see if he still has it. You know, Punk, who used to wear all the Progressive Cause shirts on AEW, and he's really toned that down of late. That Punk didn't do anything, but the crowd did. And they let Hogan have it. Those boos were glorious. It was amazing that he got that response. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things at play with this. There's the political aspect, although, you know, Taker didn't get booed. And they're very similar in their beliefs. Now, Hogan's been more out there in the political field with the events he's done. But I mean, it's partially that, but it's also the racism stuff, which he has very much not walked back in any real way where you would think he actually regrets it, both in public and also to the locker room. Jesse, do you remember when they brought him in to apologize to the locker room and the reports that leaked out about how that went over, where it was essentially old Terry telling the locker room why they shouldn't have been offended rather than an apology?
Oh, that's par for Terry Bollea's course. Oh my gosh. Come on, man. I know. And didn't he have a problem with Brooke Hogan or his daughter at one time? Was she dating an African-American guy? And he lost his mind on that.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Why this? I mean, I'm sure this question has been thrown to you and many, many people out there, is why wouldn't you sponsor Stone Cold's beer instead of Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer? It's right there.
Exactly. And I guarantee you, I haven't had Real American Beer, but I guarantee you the Austin beer is much better. I have had that many times and it's very good. So yeah, that makes no sense. And that's distributed across the nation too. It's not like it's not available anywhere. That's a good question. I don't know why. Maybe they've been approached and they just don't want to do it, but I mean, it would make a hell of a lot more sense.
Hogan did a local appearance here at the Mall of America, I think, promoting the Real American Beer, which I definitely stayed as far away from as I could. So yeah, he still is probably one of the biggest icons in the history of professional wrestling. But then you really look at the skeletons in the guy's closet and there's a lot less kayfabe these days. So everything that he's done in real life is really coming to head. And look at the wonderful audience response that he had.
And I saw some people saying, oh, that only happened because they were in California and it's so liberal out. That is not actually the case. He was in, was it the Royal Rumble in Tampa or something? And he got booed there too, in Florida. So,
it's, yep.
No, I mean, he's going to get booed everywhere. People just don't want to see him. I don't know why they don't understand this. And then, you know, they did their best to cover it when they re-uploaded it to Netflix. Later the same night, they had already edited out the boos. So
perfect timing.
I mean, I think they showed a replay of it on the show, if I remember right, and they had already edited it a little bit. So I mean, it was, yeah, they doctored it already. So you got to see the clips probably on social media if you want to hear how it actually came across. But it was definitely majority boos. It was a highly questionable decision to put him on there. I mean, we all thought so when we heard about it during the day. It just felt like they were trying to pigeonhole all these legends in there, you know, with Taker coming out, with Rhea. It was just kind of lame, I thought. Didn't really need to see it ride his motorcycle around the ring and riding off, whatever. You know, it's whatever, it's fine. But Rock's thing, again, didn't make a lot of logical sense in WWE canon. So, yeah, I wasn't particularly impressed with any of that. Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre. I was hoping Drew would get the win. I didn't think he would. Jey Uso won. You know, he got a huge reaction when he comes out. I think the whole thing's pretty lame personally, but you know, the crowd likes it, so who am I to complain? Maybe I'm just an old man in my 40s and I'm not with it. But you know, he had Travis Scott with him. Looked like he was smoking some dube.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they had some things in the works with him, which is that's a huge get for the company in pop culture, no question about it. Any thoughts on your boy Jey Uso on Monday night?
Yeah, Travis Scott wanted to pass the wacky tobacco around. That'd have been some good stuff. Yeah. I said this is the absolute last chance I'm giving the World Wrestling Entertainment to push Jey Uso. And this is it. So they're doing right by him now. I mean, McIntyre is a huge name. I know he's suffered a handful of losses of late to Punk, but it's always to the hierarchy. So we'll see what they do from here. But the moment Jey Uso's momentum gets halted, which it, in my humble opinion, it should. I mean, yeah, he's got to get pushed back down the ladder. But it's nuts to think that his entrance is so over, and then he gets in the ring and it was quiet.
And then the bell rang.
Pretty much. And Drew, I thought, actually had a pretty solid match in there, like he always does. I love Drew McIntyre. So he's almost becoming the Hangman Page of WWE, where it's like, why is this guy losing so much? I like him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the most anticipated match main evented with Punk and Rollins, and Punk goes over, and Jesse, the first wrestling show, I believe that it was the first time that we went to a show together, not the first show that we were both at in the same building, but the first one we actually traveled to together, All Out 22, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where Mox and Punk wrestled and Punk won the title. They recreated the finish of that match, right? With where Moxley kind of just fell right onto his shoulders and then he gave him the go to sleep. They did the same finish here with Punk going over on Rollins. Thoughts on the match, and did the right man win?
Best match of the night by far. It was good. It was good. I'd give it 3.25, 3.5, probably somewhere in that mix.
Exactly where I was on it. Yeah.
Yeah. The right guy definitely went over, because I mean they're going to be giving him they want to give him the push. They want to make him that WrestleMania headliner, whether it's night one or night two. And a loss isn't necessarily going to hurt Seth Rollins. I don't think it would really hurt Punk either, but it just makes more sense to kind of put him to the forefront, in spite of the fact that I feel that Seth's been kind of owning Punk in a lot of these promos over the course of the last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bringing up the history of it all. So
agreed. Yeah. I mean, given where the plans are with reportedly Roman Punk scheduled for Mania, that's kind of the direction you had to go with this match. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was a great match. I thought it was a pretty solid match. I was right with you on there. Like 3.5 is the tops I would go. I'd probably give it 3.5, but it was 3.5, 3.25. Yeah, I'd be right there with it. Yeah, by far. I mean, there wasn't a lot of competition on the show, but it was by far the best match on the show. And I did watch a little bit of the press scrum afterwards. Friend of the pod, Ben Cruz, who I do some shows with over on Bleacher Report, and he's on The Ringer. He got some good questions in the press scrum. In fact, he was the guy who asked Roman about his Kobe boots. And that has been all over social media this week. So shout out to Ben for nailing that question. But yeah, the only part I didn't watch was Hunter, because I didn't want to see any more ego stroking. But I watched a little of the press scrum. There wasn't really anything major there. But, you know, it felt like a PLE. Now they're going to be dialed back a bit. You know, every other Raw on Netflix are going to start feeling like your regular shows again. And we'll probably get back into the routine here. So from a WWE corporate perspective, it was certainly a win. As far as my enjoyment of a wrestling fan, that was a slog to watch personally. You?
It was their worst presentation, I think, since... Was Money in the Bank? I think we rated that pretty low.
Yeah.
This was lower for me than Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah, I enjoyed Saturday Night's Main Event more. I mean, it was shorter, had the nostalgia factor to it. It flew by watching it versus this one kind of dragged to me. Yeah, that was definitely a better night of wrestling for me.
Same commercial breaks too. 2 to 3 minutes into a match, they would hit a commercial. I didn't like that either. And then one thing I was going to ask you didn't bring up, and this is going to be something we're going to bring up similar with AEW. Give me your thoughts on John Cena.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, John Cena, another one of the legends. I mean, they were hinting at, I think we know what's coming is, you know, he's possibly going to be wrestling Cody. You know, that's the rumor. Could he win the Rumble? I mean, that's a way to set it up, I guess. I don't know that I'm a huge fan of that, you know, given that he's on the way out and that's a, you know, a big lift to win the Rumble. It's a star making opportunity. But if that's how they feel is the best roadmap to get there, it makes sense. I don't think he should beat Cody for the belt. I've seen people speculating about that. I did watch him in the press scrum and it was fine, but like Cena always comes across so fake, just very polished. And like I said to somebody, like he just comes across like plastic, you know. It's just like everything he says does not really, he feels definitely like a politician, you know, when he's answering questions. I don't know if he's being serious or not. So, I mean, the use of him was fine, I guess. Again, I don't really want to see him win the Rumble to get there. What were your thoughts?
No, I said we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I'm tired of guys in their late 40s and early 50s just throwing themselves in the mix just because they were once tremendous in their prime, seen as good 10, 15 years past his prime. The 2025 retirement tour is fine. He should be putting guys over. He's been doing it for how many years now? He even mentioned it in his promo. He's like, look at my win-loss record in the last four or 5 years. It's not very good. Yeah. I'm the underdog here. Oh, golly. Oh, shucks. It's kind of the way he came off. And it was, yeah, it's almost made me sick because now I'm like, who is he going to pin in the course of the next year? That's just going to be like, you made that decision. Why did you do it? You're going to set your own business back. How many months, maybe a year, maybe two, who knows?
Yeah, it's, you mentioned this on Unplugged, by the way. You did a pre-show of Raw on Unplugged, but you talked about being unable to, you know, really take him seriously given those losses, you know, that he's had. And if you're going to book him against Cody, like just given the win-loss record and who he's lost to, he's not the John Cena that main evented WrestleMania. So he's way past his prime at this point, you know, so. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. How old is John? I got to Google this. 47.
That's what I was going to guess.
So he will be 48 here in April. So he will be damn close to Hogan's age at WrestleMania 18 when he wrestled Rock. Because when was Hogan born? Like 53, I think. Yeah, Hogan was born 53. So Hogan was like 40. Yeah, Hogan was 48 at WrestleMania 18 because that was in 02 and early 02. Yeah, so yeah, he was 48. So Cena's the same age as Hogan at WrestleMania 18.
Flair was 49. Think about that. Yeah. They were the two of the big highlights on the show, but again, they were guys in their primes in the late 80s and you're still have them prominently featured 13 years later in high profile matches. And they were almost, they were better than a lot of the performers on the roster, but it was only because of the crowd reactions they were getting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Ryan Huffman mentioned something in the chat I was going to bring up. So he said, I watched it Tuesday, fast forwarding and not being able to see what you're fast forwarding sucks. That is a problem, and I ran into that watching Dynamite. Not that I fast forward a lot of Dynamite, but like certain sections, I was trying to watch it fast. And even on Max, you do get a little preview of what's happening, but it's not as good as like when you're fast forwarding on YouTube TV, and you can see it like the picture changes a lot more, and it's harder to do on Max. On Netflix, it's really bad. So I mean, yeah, I ran into that with AEW because the picture looks better on Max, I think, than watching on YouTube TV. So I'd prefer to watch it on Max. But if you're in a time pinch and you're trying to kind of skim through some sections, it's better to watch it on YouTube TV. And yeah, with Raw, it's only on Netflix. So you don't have that option now. And that is a limitation. Maybe they'll fix that moving forward. They're still in their infancy with the live stuff, although you watch it on demand and it's still a problem. So, well, yeah, obviously you can't fast forward live, but I mean, if you're behind the feed a little bit is what I mean, to catch up. So yeah, that's an issue. Certainly. Huffman also mentioned not using Penta was a mistake. At one point he was going to debut on the show. There was other stuff. There's another women's match that was supposed to be on the show that they ended up delaying. So they get more of these legends out there. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be the biggest audience they had, so maybe it would have been ideal to get those newer faces out there. What do you think?
Well, and it also has a UFC feel where in between matches, they would just pander to the crowd. They would rotate wrestlers like they used to do on NXT takeovers. The initial stage, if somebody was new, but they would rotate like Tiffany Stratton, who just recently won the Women's World Championship. Shinsuke Nakamura was out there. I saw LA Knight, Bianca Belair. They just kept rotating the locker room in a specific spot. And kudos to Bill Simmons, by the way, because there were attractive women to the right of him all night long, and he was looking at his phone.
It's incredible. With Nikki Bella dancing next to him, and he's just staring straight ahead the entire time.
Tremendous stuff.
Oh, Bill Simmons, husband of the year.
Husband Netflix of the producer year. Bill Simmons also.
Yeah. How'd he get those seats? Jeez, I wonder.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, before we go any further, by the way, Ryan Huffman being in the chat made me think of this. I got to put the names of our patrons up on the screen. Thank you, of course, to all of our wonderful patrons who make Top Rope Nation continuing a thing. Because if we didn't have our Patreon supporters, we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast anymore. So we really, really, really appreciate you guys funding us on Patreon, keeping these shows coming. $5 a month gets you access at the entry tier. Get access to pretty much all the bonus shows at $5 a month. Like I mentioned, Jesse had an unplugged out earlier this week. He also had one last week, I believe. And we've had TRN Classics dropping. We got another TRN Classics coming in the next week or two, one in a week or two after that as well. So if you like classic wrestling, you guys got to get in on our Patreon because that is where we break down at length classic wrestling. We had Kyle Ross, our former co-host, return as we reviewed Survivor Series 92 a couple of weeks ago. You got to sign up to hear it. You know, sign up for a month, try it out. If you don't like it, cancel. No harm. We won't feel bad. But we think once you sign up, you'll like all the bonus content. We got over 170 bonus shows available right now. There's unheard interviews on there. I did an interview with Bobby the Brain Heenan in 2002. My first interview in the wrestling media, that is available to listen to. It's a Top Rope Nation extra episode. You can check that out. I digitized the cassette tape from 2002. That's a bonus show that's on there. I've started to trickle out some of my old interviews with WWE and AEW stars. In fact, an interview I did with Rhea Ripley is available on the feed. And soon I will be releasing an unheard interview that I did with Kevin Owens. So yes, you can listen to that one here in the coming weeks. He tells some pretty funny stories in that interview, some funny stuff, road stories with Sami Zayn that I thought was really, really good. And I'm sure you will be interested too. That is going to be behind the paywall. So join the Patreon page. The link is in the broadcast description. And then of course, Jesse's show going up all the time, TRN Classics. We got free merch drawings. We got Zooms we got to be doing here coming up again pretty soon. All kinds of stuff. So support us on Patreon. We would be honored to have your support. And if you're watching right now, by the way, thumbs up this YouTube video. That helps out as well.
I took a long break, and that's not going to be happening for the foreseeable future because I've been going through 1995 ECW and having a lot of fun with it. So, and I'm going to really start to roll out, not in a squared circle gazette kind of way, but I'd say a couple of notches below just some of the history behind what ECW was going through from 94 leading into 95, but just kind of opening my eyes to what I missed in real time, because you all know, specifically you patrons, what WWF and WCW is doing in 1995. It was terrible. You hear it all the time. So I'm like, let's go see what the alternative was doing. So far, I've been enjoying what I've been covering.
Yeah, no, that's been a good listen. Two episodes into the ECW 1995 Rewind. He's in January right now. You guys check that out for sure. Another reason to join the Patreon page. Jesse, I didn't ask you. Do you have anything in the glass tonight?
Sort of.
Okay.
Here's the hilarious thing. When you made the mention of, do I have to switch to NAs too? No, you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever. So I have a Athletic Upside Don Golden. I'll be breaking out the Hendrix for the classics, which I'm pumped for.
Okay. Yeah. No, I had an Athletic NA at Justin's house the other night. It wasn't bad. You know, it was fine. It was fine. I actually was thinking about getting some today, but I didn't have a chance to go over to the store. I was going to surprise everyone by drinking an NA tonight, but unable to do so. I do have it's a light gin and tonic. I didn't put a lot of gin in it, but I do have it in the Top Rope Nation Rocks glass, which I know Justin showed off on the pod recently. You guys can get one of these yourselves at topropenation.com. They are high quality, affordable price. Support the pod. Get a rocks glass. You'll be happy that you did.
I'm buying one tomorrow. It's on my to-do list. Completely forgot about it.
There you go. Oh, well, by the way, another selling point. Patrons get 20% off our store all the time. There is a permanent code on Patreon. You can just search through the Patreon archives and find it, where you get 20% off all our merch all the time. A Patreon exclusive code. So there's another reason right there. All right. We can transition to AEW and Kenny Omega and New Japan as well. Now, I only saw from the weekend the Gabe Kidd Kenny Omega match. I did not see any of Wrestle Kingdom. Jesse, any thoughts of what happened in Japan over the weekend? You probably saw a lot more of it than I did.
Yes and no. I saw three matches on Wrestle Kingdom's card, and then I saw four or five. I think I told you guys I was going to take a nap. I ended up waking up a little bit later than I wanted to. So it was the match before the IWGP Tag Team Championships, which I watched, which that, in a sense, kind of surprised me. The Young Bucks are your new IWGP Tag Team Champions?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I mean, the match itself was fine. I mean, Naito's getting up there in years, but I always enjoy watching Jeff Cobb. He looks still the same even after 5-6 years of him just being a force in that entire promotion. The MVP of the weekend by far was Konosuke Takeshita. Both of his matches. I loved his Shingo Takagi match, which was only 12 and a half minutes. They just went toe to toe and just beat the hell out of each other. And then Takeshita one-upped himself the next night with Tomohiro Ishii, who turns it into a second or a third gear when he goes back home. Another tremendous match. It just makes you wonder what the future is going to look like for Takeshita, if he's going to be over in New Japan longer, because now, not only is he signed to DDT and AEW, he's now signed to New Japan as well.
Hey, I mean, why not? I'll watch him wherever, but like you said, turns it up a notch over there. Yeah, what did you think of Kenny and Gabe Kidd? Because, I mean, I thought it was a hell of a match. Kenny did more than I was expecting, but man, I was really impressed by Gabe Kidd too.
Match of the year contender. I think it's going to be in everybody's top five when it's over. Gabe Kidd was doing a lot of calling back to Antonio Inoki with the abdominal stretch and just kind of with his palm strikes into Kenny's abdomen, and Kenny's selling that with his diverticulitis and, oh, and obviously Kenny, I'm assuming, handpicked Gabe Kidd to be his opponent. He's kind of a I'll go Conor McGregor, Eddie Kingston hybrid when it comes to just his promo ability and just his believability. He's a tough guy. He went through the dojo, the LA dojo. He's been a young lion. I think this is his fourth or his fifth year in New Japan. I mean, he's got a huge future. He might have just blown past David Finlay, who also had a tremendous weekend, by the way. His match with Yota Tsuji, I think a lot of people are saying, was the best match of Wrestle Kingdom. And then the next night, I missed the Brody King match, but I heard that was fantastic as well. So, no, I mean, I'm wondering myself, is Kenny going to be over there a little bit more, or is he going to be with AEW for the next 11 and a half months?
Yeah, we got them both places this week. I thought it was good they put him in the main event spot on Dynamite to make it feel like a huge deal. Because I think getting Kenny back, you should almost build these shows, you know, around him for sure. Let me ask you this, because this ran through my mind when I saw him on Dynamite. What do you think of the new theme song?
I got to listen to it again. It definitely has Final Character written all over it.
Yeah.
It makes his presentation, I think, a little bit more... It has more of an imposing feel than Devil's Sky did, which still might be my favorite. Mm. His New Japan music. And then, of course, his last one, which I really started to get into, I think, maybe 6 months into listening to it. So I got to go through it again. You have to give me your thoughts on it.
Not a fan. I'm just Battle Cry, his other AEW song, the most recent one, is like such an awesome theme song, and it really just gets you jacked. Like, it's a song you listen to at the gym, you know. Yep. And it's just a little bit too slow for a song, and then with the lyrics, it just doesn't do it for me. Like, it doesn't make, I get like the final boss, for lack of a better word, kind of feel to it, but it doesn't really do it for me for Kenny. I need something a little bit more high energy, I think, especially like when he's going to be wrestling. Here, he coming out for the promo, I guess it was fine. When he's going to be wrestling, I want Battle Cry, man. That's an all-timer of a theme, in my opinion. So I know, like, a couple of years ago, you know, when you get the Spotify Wrapped at the end of the year, Battle Cry was in my top 10 songs. I would throw that on all the time. It's just, I put on the morning when I was getting ready to go to work, and just a great theme song. I wouldn't change it. So I just wanted to bring that up because I'm not a huge fan. Maybe I'll switch back. You know, maybe it was just, I don't know. We'll see.
It was a New Japan presentation, because I know he does a lot of video stuff when he goes over there. When he wrestled Tanahashi, they threw this kind of 8-bit or 16-bit style video game deal into his entrance, like 2.5-3 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And Omega is one of the biggest video game nerds out there, especially from a wrestling perspective. I wouldn't mind seeing him and Adam Cole go at it on his Twitch feed one of these days. I'd actually tune in and watch.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I think I remember reading there was something about his new theme that he came out to in Japan was, I think it's like linked to Final Fantasy or something. Like one of the composers from the Final Fantasy games. Is that right? Yeah,
that is correct.
So that's, you know, I can understand why he would be into it. But for me, give me Battle Cry every time. Ryan Huffman had an interesting chat here. Actually, no, let's stay on Kenny Omega, and then we'll go back to that. Any thoughts on the promo and the ending of Dynamite?
I liked it. I think he's starting out probably where he's supposed to with Don Callis and the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to start with Brian Cage. And of course, another TRN Unplugged kind of tidbit I'm going to roll out here real quick. You can't throw him in a main event scene within a month of him arriving, in spite of the fact I saw people just absolutely clamoring for it. They're like, throw this guy in the main event after one match. He's already back. And I was like, slow your roll. Let him story tell. Let's start with Brian Cage. He'll move to maybe Kyle Fletcher. I mean, a Grand Slam. It's a possibility too. I don't know.
Match. Yeah.
Yeah. And who goes over in that instance? Now I'm fantasy booking here.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a tough call. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I liked what they did with Ospreay, you know, where he helped him out, but he was a little hesitant in the way they interacted before he walked off. And then, yeah, getting, I do like how they've gone back to announcing a lot more for Dynamite, you know, in the weeks ahead. Like for a while, they were getting away from that where they weren't announcing too much. And in the early days of Dynamite, they would always have these cards announced like 2 weeks out sometimes, you know, and yeah, they revealed at the end of the show that he was going to be in action next week. You mentioned it's Cage. So looking forward to seeing him in action on Dynamite. Don't expect it'll be anything like the Gabe Kidd match, but it'll be good to see him wrestling on cable again here in the States.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then with just the way that the Ospreay Omega matches have gone when Ospreay was with Don Callis and using the screwdriver, I'm sure that was in the back of Kenny Omega's mind. And that's why there was the hesitancy even after Ospreay saved him. But of course, I mean, Ospreay got turned on with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
So, yep, all of it makes sense. And I'm sure at some point in time, it's going to lead to the two of them battling maybe even next year. There's just so much content, I think, that Omega and Ospreay are going to be going through the next 12 months. They'll probably be separated, I'm sure, for a little while here, even once Omega goes through the Don Callis family. I'm sure Ospreay will be on to something else, and they can always just come back and meet maybe in the full gear portion of the year or early next year.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd make the most sense, I think. You teased earlier that you were going to talk about older people in wrestling a little bit more. And I think Ryan Huffman has the question to get us started on this. He says, getting here late, but serious question when you get to AEW stuff. What's your thoughts on Jeff Jarrett? Absolutely hate it, Ryan Huffman. I hate the Jeff Jarrett stuff. I'm sorry. You know, he's a nice guy. He's had some positive contributions to wrestling over the years. It's nice to see him, like when he first came into AEW, do some stuff that was moderately amusing. But I don't need to see the last hurrah of him and, you know, having him on television and doing promos with MJF. To me, if you're just like even considering watching AEW and you're not familiar with the product and that's what you first see. First of all, he's so linked to TNA when TNA was bad, 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 that like it automatically associates your product with that, which is I do not think is a positive. You should be trying to be totally different. I don't like having him around at all. I think all of this is totally unnecessary. It's using up TV time for something that's not interesting in the least, at least not to me. Jesse, your take.
Stole my thunder. And he was the leader of the WCW ship that was going straight down like the Titanic did too. Mm-hmm. So to see him come out and just say, I got one more run in me. I was like, well, you got about 75 guys in front of you. I'd much rather get a world title opportunity than you. You're in your mid 50s. Cena and Jarrett are very similar. The only difference, it is a small difference, but John Cena is just, he's one of the faces of WWE of the last 2 to 3 decades, maybe even in the history of the promotion. He's probably in the top 10, 12.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he went through a giant slump. Maybe they can tell a story of how he got himself back into wrestling shape and he's getting his feet wet again. And maybe that's how you run with it. With Jarrett, he's been in the business now for close to 40 years. Granted, he was 18 when he started, but again, he's in the middle. And MJF, a lot of the points he was making last night were on the money.
Yeah.
Absolutely on the money. Like, he just doesn't have it in him. And he started doing the double J strut. And when you're agreeing with the heel in this aspect, you know that your run is doomed from the start. And Wheeler Yuta taking him out of that casino gauntlet match, by the way, just taking him backstage, that's another kind of major detail as to what I think. What they think of it too. He's just shouldn't be anywhere near a main event right now. Or yeah, featuring AEW television, taken away from the young guys, like you just said.
Yeah, I mean, you got him. I don't have as much of a problem with Copeland doing the Mox thing because I think, you know, it's not, hopefully not going to be something that goes on a long time. He's been off TV. He is a little bit younger than Jarrett, but he's a bigger name than Jarrett. So, you know, to do that match with Mox, I'm fine with it. Now, if he actually won the world title, I would have a problem. I don't think that that's going to happen. But I'm fine with that as a short-term thing and, you know, linked with FTR too. To me, that's on a whole different level from the Jarrett thing. But at the same time, I can see how people would be harsh against it because it's another older guy out there. You know, my biggest problem with that is calling him Cope. That is just terrible. It is so bad. Jesse, Cope? Cope? Come on. Rated R Cope? That's bad. That's bad. Come on. Adam Copeland was fine.
I'm coping with this name change right now. Not very well either. Maybe I should go grab an actual drink.
I can't do the Kyle Ross voice, but if I could, Cope?
Come on. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Jesus, it's so bad. It comes across, I mean, because you've been around now. You've been Adam Copeland on TV. You know, you've been around AEW for a bit. It's just, it's weird to be going to that, I think. I'm not a huge fan of that. But as far as the match and the feud with Mox, I'm fine as a short-term thing. They're big names, you know, whatever. Jeff Jarrett's not a big name. It's not the same thing. Like, being on top of TNA, winning the WCW world title in the dying days of WCW. It's, you know, when they say stuff like, oh, 12-time world champion. I mean, come on. I saw some funny tweets about that where guys are like, how did Jeff Jarrett ever become a 12-time world champion? And then people were responding, he booked himself to be a 12-time world champion. It's like, yeah, that's how. No, that could get off the show. I'm not interested at all.
Same way Bulldog Bob Brown booked himself back in the 80s too. That's almost what Jeff Jarrett did. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, it's real bad. Otherwise, you know, on AEW, yeah, I mean, the opening match I thought was really good. I mean, the show had some highlights. Buddy Matthews and Ospreay was very, very good. A hot way to open the show. Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think I saw a point here. Should Buddy Matthews be getting a bit of a push with Malakai leaving soon, which we could touch on here in a moment? It's going to be hard to kind of resurrect what's been going on with him. Mm-hmm. I saw some discourse, just somebody called Buddy Matthews a total jobber in their opinion. And I had to go look up his win-loss record, and I go, he has been kind of treated like a total jobber. He's 3-9 in singles matches in 2 years.
Yikes.
And a guy that looks like that, moves like that, and has been in a pretty prominent group.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that he'd be losing all the time. I think I'm sure Brody King has a winning record at least.
Mm-hmm.
So just for Buddy to be the fall guy when he probably should be a little bit more just doesn't really sit well with me. So it's going to be kind of hard to resurrect his character, I think.
Yeah. No, agreed there. Anything else to talk about? We had the Hurt Syndicate, you know, with the tension with Private Party. We set up a match with Harley Cameron and Mariah May for Collision this week, which I thought was well done. Mm-hmm. Harley Cameron's hilarious. I mean, she's really turned it around.
Of late. The two of them together were hilarious. They were great.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a highlight. Powerhouse Hobbs, of course, you know, winning. Ooh. And getting the title shot next week. Fan of that. I mean, we've been high on Powerhouse Hobbs for a long time on this show. So I was glad to see him go over there. You?
I'm a fan of him going over there in that spot. But I think that the question I'm going to ask right now is, and now, I mean, the women's gauntlet, this will be the first time they're ever doing it. So I think that part's pretty cool. But are you starting to get tired of this trope? It's been 3 or 4 times now in the last 8 months. And Christian Cage, I think, still holds the contract from the last one.
That's a good point. Yeah, it does seem like they just throw it in out of nowhere when they have nothing else to do. Yeah, they need to make those feel a little bit more special, for sure. I mean, like, even going into watching the show, I kind of forgot that was going to be on the show, which says a lot. So yeah, no, I think they could probably tone it down there, for sure.
There needs to be more. We talked about this over the summer. There needs to be more number one contenders matches, and there needs to be stakes in a lot of these singles matches. Say, these two guys have been red hot. You can explain that story. They should be battling for the number one contendership for the world championship. It's just I think it brings more prominence to it.
I mean, those can be pay-per-view matches. Number one contenders matches can be an important match on a pay-per-view, rather than just throwaway battle royals or gauntlets or whatever you're doing on weekly television. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think that was the point we made on the show, was that, yeah, build some guys up, have the number one contender match on a pay-per-view.
Great way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? I mean, we had Tony Storm. There was that triple threat on here that Statlander won over her and Willow. I mean, the Toni Storm, I don't know how much we've talked about on the show. I can't even remember at this point, but I do really like the stuff they're doing with Toni Storm and her being forgetful of the past and everything and kind of working her way back.
I'm definitely in agreement with you there. I have a weird feeling she's going to win next week too, because I mean, they have this Australian card. The winner's going to Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of a weird way to do it, unless I think it'd be too quick of a turn for her to all of a sudden snap out of her amnesia right before she wrestles Mariah May. That's something you should maybe play towards Double or Nothing, maybe give it a little more juice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it does line up with that Australia show though, you know, with Tony being from New Zealand and everything. Yeah, I think they'll probably do it just based on what is the date on that show? I can't remember.
It's February 15th or 16th.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be an early morning watch for us. That is not a friendly time zone conversion. I remember doing when they did Elimination Chamber. I did the Bleacher Report main event watch along, and I had to get up at just some ungodly hour. I barely slept that night. So that'll be an early morning if you want to watch it live at least.
Because Valentine's Day, I know, is on a Friday this year. So it would be, the Saturday the 15th or Sunday the 16th. And that's a weekend. I know I don't have my son. So with not my amnesia, but with my sleep deprivation during the winter, I'm sure I'll be watching it live.
Yeah, Saturday, February 15th, which that's the date in Australia, and they're ahead of us, right? So it would be early morning Saturday for us.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how it would be. So God, I mean, I could do the time conversion, but that's not great podcasting to do this all on air and Googling, but it's going to be an early, and yeah, that's coming off of Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you got a late night for Valentine's Day, that's going to be an early morning the next day. If you want to watch it live, that's a difficult ask.
So I know that'd be like, well, I mean, it's only hitting 15% of the wrestling community. I mean, having a fun Valentine's Day. So
yeah, that's true. It's 15% high.
I'm not sure exactly the over under ballpark number, but yeah, no, there are normal humans out there that watch professional wrestling. That includes our patrons too. And our audience as well. We're not all weird.
Okay. So it's in Brisbane. So it looks like that for us is 16 hours ahead of us.
Okay.
So, jeez. My God. I mean, if that's starting at 7 p.m. their time.
Oh, 3 in the morning.
Oh, man.
In other words, go ahead.
The main event might be like 6 a.m. or so, but jeez. That's going to. I don't think I'll be watching that live unless Bleacher Report asks me to.
Then exactly.
But
especially if somebody's slaying Valentine's Day and they actually have to get up and watch this. Ooh, that is a very tough ask.
Well, maybe that person would already have been up all night so they could just flip on the TV. Yeah, you're really slaying it.
The old Shawn Michaels DX promo from 97. As a matter of fact, I was up all night.
exactly. I don't think there was anything else I wanted to talk about from Dynamite. God, there's so much going on right now. Netflix,
there's a ton.
New Japan, Dynamite. Any talking points that we didn't hit?
A very small one, with Private Party being kind of victims of the C2, where like everything gets pushed to the side because of the tournament. So people kind of forgot they were tag team champions and they really weren't put in many different spots. So now when you see guys like Lashley and Benjamin saying, we're coming for your championships, we go, ooh, this was just, okay, we're going to give you your feel-good story and then we're going to have the rug pulled from underneath you probably, unless they have them pull off this humongous upset, which honestly, I wouldn't do. I don't want to see Bobby Lashley in a main event program, but seeing him with the tag team championships would be kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I was laughing to myself seeing Ryan Huffman's chats here. I was just checking in on that. I bet him earlier today, although he never accepted the bet. So it's off the table, Ryan. I'm sorry. But I said, I bet you my whole wrestling collection that Ben Johnson does not sign with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Ooh. I would agree with you on that, just because they don't have a quarterback in place right now, and that's exactly what probably where Ben wants to go.
Exactly. Yeah, it's I mean, unless Tom Brady is like very he sways them big time. I mean, that's the only way, but I just don't see that happening. I don't see it at all. I told Huffman, we're just going to get football again. I told Huffman my fear was that they'd hire Vrabel and then Johnson would go to the Patriots. That would leave the Bears, because I really want
Drake
the Bears
May.
Hired Johnson. So I could see that happening.
Drake May in a top four pick, which now won't be Travis Hunter because they won that last game. Very Lovie Smith of Gerard Mayo to win his last game and get fired.
Yeah. Yeah, the chat, you guys, if you're not watching on the live stream, was Mr. Huffman said, seeing all that wrestling stuff behind you, Ryan, just trying to figure out where I'll put it at my place.
Good stuff. I popped huge when he said state of our education when you have to listen to Battle Cry to get fired up for work.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do to get through these days. I'm telling you, Battle Cry will do it for me every time. What a great theme. Come on, Kenny. If you're listening, go back to Battle Cry.
I remember you saying that your wife was driving home one day and she was angry and she started playing Judas in the car.
That's true. My wife really liked Judas, and we used to jam out to that until,
of course,
Jericho got real, real bad with some of his takes. And
yep,
this was pre January 6, 2021. I'll just say that.
Ooh. 4 years ago, that was on Monday night as well, which is a big reason probably why Hogan and Taker came out. They're probably in their element.
So bad. I think after I informed her a little bit more about Chris Jericho, she stopped listening to it. But for a while, that was one that got her amped, you know, when, yeah, she had something to look forward to or was getting pumped up to go to work. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. That's about all we got, unless you guys have any questions for us or anything that we haven't hit. But God, we're an hour in. We're an hour in, Jesse. Flew by.
It absolutely flew. And yeah, I felt like we hit touch on everything that I wanted to outside of, oh, well, I know we missed this last week. And I kind of, what do you think of Ricochet right now?
Oh, okay. I like it. I was talking with Justin about, that's probably why I figured that we had already talked about it for some reason, because Justin and I were talking about it over the weekend. I had a chance to go over to his place and have some ribs, which was delicious. That's when I had the NA.
Jealous.
And we were talking about it, and I think the character flip for Ricochet has been very well done. I'm digging him kind of growing into this heel persona. It certainly pushed the boundaries of what's believable. I'll say that with the scissor attack. Of course, the scissors were gold plated and all that too. But no, I mean, I think he's growing into it. When he first came into AEW from WWE, we talked about on the show before, you know, did he still have some of that WWE stench? And that's not to say that WWE is bad, but like Ricochet's presentation in WWE and maybe kind of setting him back from what made him special when he was on the indie circuit. And I think now, like, he's differentiating enough from that look and that persona, and you know, the weaknesses that he had on the mic are not as glaring now with, you know, what he's been doing of late, that I really like it. I also like when they're at Hammerstein and they were throwing the toilet paper at him and stuff. He got a great reaction from that crowd. So I'm a fan. What about you?
I think tying everything together, he just looks like this super dorky, nerdy guy, and he's trying to be tough, and he's got the Jadakiss laugh, the aha, which is
that I'm not
tremendous.
A fan of.
I actually am, right, and here's the only reason why I am a fan of it right now is because it is giving some serial killer vibes kind of to
okay,
it.
Okay. Okay.
And in a lighter way, that's sort of what he's trying to portray, because he had those huge glasses on, this yep. white shirt when he was cutting Swerve with those scissors. And it just looked very Patrick Bateman from American Psycho-ish and kind of Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy. I mean, obviously you're not going to have a serial killer in pro wrestling, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, This guy acts a certain way. Why is he acting this way? But then he can flip a switch and all of a sudden you're like, this dude's dangerous. Mm-hmm. If he can play the dangerous part moving forward, I think I'm really going to dig this.
Yeah. That's true. And the laugh does get him heat. So, hey, that works, I guess. No, yeah, I've been a fan so far. I think they've done a pretty good job with him. So, yeah, can't complain too much. Yeah, that's, I think we hit everything. Now, yeah, next week. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's a real, we're in that kind of gray area in between PLEs and pay-per-views, mm-hmm. where television and then now with streaming kind of being important. You already hit on the Max part, which is what I was going to ask you about, since you said you've been watching it on there. I still been watching TBS.
Yeah, the picture is better on Max for sure. At least as compared to like YouTube TV. Now, if you have DirecTV or like, you know, regular cable, it might look a little bit better versus like one of the streaming television services, but I notice a big difference when I watch on Max compared to YouTube TV. There's not as much pixelation. It's just a clear picture. The colors pop a little bit more. So I prefer to watch it on there.
But I'll be making that transition probably end of February, right before Revolution. Yeah. I'd be curious to see how they roll out those pay-per-view prices.
They haven't announced anything yet. So yeah, we'll find out soon, hopefully. But yeah, no, it's, you know, I think as we wait for the Rumble to happen and get closer to some of those PLEs, yeah, this is when we're going to knock out some of these classic shows for our patrons. And so, yes, that is coming. Starrcade 88, we have coming very soon. That is technically our December classics for Patreon, but we got a little bit behind because the November one got pushed back a couple of weeks. And then, of course, the holiday happens. So we'll be catching up. But yeah, Starrcade 88. Then we'll be doing one for January. And then hopefully we'll be kind of, you know, back on the even footing there. Usually January is a Rumble. And so we would hope to do that around the first week in February when the Rumble actually happens. So we should have two classics coming at you in the next 3 to 4 weeks is the goal, at least. We'll see. 4 weeks. I'll say 4 weeks. And Justin Joint will be there.
Yeah, that's a big one. His presence was missed this evening. Poor guy's sick. Yeah. We haven't been on a Thursday show together, I'm just swear to you, since like mid-November.
Yeah, it's been a while. We did the World's End review together on that Sunday morning. Was it Sunday or I can't even remember.
It was Sunday.
Okay, so that Sunday morning we did that show together. But yeah, it's been difficult in the Thursday nights. These schedules when you have children and everything, they get very difficult. But mm-hmm. We'll make it. We always make it happen for the paying customers, for the patrons. And so look for Starrcade 88. That review, it'll be at least 2 hours on the Patreon feed again, and then the January classics, whatever our patrons vote for that one. So hey guys, we really appreciate it and appreciate your continued support of what we've been doing here since 2016. Spread the word. That is the best way. Look, I still post our links on social and stuff, but I'm gonna be honest with you, I've been doing that for years and that's not great for growth. The biggest way to grow a podcast is word of mouth. So if you listen to this show, tell your friends, you know, whether that's in person or online or whatever. If every single person that listened to this pod told one or two people, I mean, double our numbers week to week. That would be awesome to see. So if you enjoy what we do, recommend it to some people this week. That would help us out a lot. We would really appreciate it. So, yeah.
Every viewer and every listen is extremely important. We always appreciate it, as Ryan always says. Justin does too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast feed, subscribe, like, rate and review, all that stuff helps us out a lot. So guys, we hope you have a great weekend. We're going to take off. So for Jesse Velasquez, I'm Ryan Drosty. This has been episode 370 of Top Rope Nation. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Prayers up, Los Angeles.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.